And so this evening, just for a few moments, as the Lord helps us, just two words for our meditation. The two words at the beginning of verse 18. Thorns also. Thorns also. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 18. Two words. Thorns also. This chapter, the third chapter in the Bible, which we read, is perhaps the saddest chapter in the whole of Scripture. It describes, of course, the sudden and terrible fall of Adam and Eve through their sin from their condition of innocence and happiness in the Garden of Eden. And the effect of that sin, the effect of that fall, is described in the passage that we read. We see it perhaps particularly starkly in the very last verse of this chapter, verse 24. So God drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword to banish mankind from the garden and to banish mankind from his immediate presence. But of course, we don't just see the effects of that sin in this chapter, do we? We see the effects of sin every time we open a newspaper, or every time we hear the news and we hear of sin in the world. We see it in our society, and we can bring it closer, can't we? We see the effects of this fall, perhaps above all in our own hearts, as we see their sin and unbelief. And there was a word, a very sobering word, that keeps coming in this chapter 3. And that is the word curse. And you know, as we're born into this world and as we grow up, it's a sobering thought that we're under a double curse. The first is the one that we have inherited from Adam and Eve, that curse that theologians call original sin. And then, as we grow up, we incur the curse ourselves through our own sin. And because of that, like Adam and Eve, it's as if there's a flaming sword of justice. It barred Adam and Eve from the garden. It bars us from the immediate presence of God. And this chapter outlines the various implications of the fall on the serpent, on the woman, and among other effects, the effect on the land itself. We read in verse 17, cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground. And so the need to work for our food, and the emergence of weeds and thorns and thistles. And so these sobering words that we read, thorns also. Thorns also. Thorns as a symbol of the sin and misery that had come into the world. And a continual reminder, even when we're in a lovely garden, we see and feel thorns. When we have a beautiful bouquet of flowers, perhaps some roses, there also are the thorns, a reminder of the first sin that came into this world. So my first point this evening then is the bringing in of the curse, and the fact that thorns are here in Genesis 3 as a symbol of that curse. But you know, if that was the only point tonight, if the revelation of Scripture ended at Genesis chapter 3 and the flaming sword, we might as well close the meeting now, lock up the gates of the chapel, and go home. But the message of the gospel, the message that we proclaim, is a message of hope. And you know, there's a hint of it, as Pastor set before us a few weeks ago in verse 15, isn't there? That there would be coming a Messiah who would bruise the head of Satan. So my second point is this: the curse removed. The first point is the curse coming into this world, and the second point is the curse removed. And these very thorns themselves as a symbol and sign of the curse being removed. And so our eyes turn to one of whom Paul wrote that he was the second Adam, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the great curse remover. A wise appointment of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. And so we think tonight of that second Adam, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, as he went to Calvary. And what sacred ground we come to here. And in John's Gospel we read this, don't we? Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns. The crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said, "Behold the man." And you know, in that sacred scene of our Saviour's suffering on Calvary, there were no coincidences. There were no chance occurrences in what the crowd said or what the soldiers were permitted to do. And so as we see the crown of thorns placed on the head of our Saviour, we see those thorns as a sign and a symbol that the curse itself was being removed for his people. Pilate said, "Behold the man, behold the man." And tonight, by faith, we behold the man of Calvary. And we see him as he's led from the garden to the judgment hall with that crown of thorns placed on his head, and then going to Calvary. And by faith we see the man removing the curse for us, as the curse was placed upon him as he died in the place of his people on Calvary. And as we come to prayer tonight, as we gather for prayer, how thankful we should be that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ was willing to wear a crown of thorns. In the mocking of the Roman soldiers, no doubt it was meant as a symbol of humiliation for our Lord and Saviour. No doubt it was meant as a means of further inflicting pain and suffering. But in the providence of God, these thorns also remind us of that original sin, of the moment when the thorns came in, of the curse that came into this world, and the fact that he was willing to bear that curse. And you know, tonight, although he's now in heaven, now he's crowned with honour and renown, I believe that for his people, they never saw a greater beauty in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ than when he was willing to wear a crown of thorns. And he was never more king-like for them than when his crown was a crown of humiliation, a crown of pain, and a crown of thorns. Thorns also. Thorns also. Well, there's so much more that we could say on that. But the first point then, the curse brought in. The second point, the curse removed, and the thorns in the judgment hall. and at Calvary on the head of our Saviour. Just before we turn to our concluding thoughts, just another thought, an aside if you like, really perhaps to take home with you tonight. Although for the Lord's people that curse, the thorns, have been removed, there is still, of course, this pilgrimage pathway to be walked out. Many difficulties and challenges along that pathway. And so when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and was speaking to them of a particular problem, a trial, a disappointment, something in his life that wasn't going as well as he wanted to, he said this, and he used the analogy of a thorn, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." He hadn't yet reached glory. "Lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given me a thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan to buffet me." And so it is to a greater or lesser extent with all the Lord's people. Although the curse has been removed, there still will be these thorns that come, a reminder that we are not yet in heaven. And as I was thinking on this, there were just two thoughts that crossed my mind. The first was this, that the Saviour had a whole crown of thorns, and yet when Paul talks about himself and the Lord's people, he just talks about a thorn. Many thorns for the Saviour, just one or two for you and me. And then secondly, of course, he was given that wonderful promise alongside the thorn, wasn't he? When the Lord said this, that "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Thorns also. So just as we conclude our meditation this evening, we turn from Genesis to the very end of Scripture, to the last chapter of the very last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. We were thinking about the book of Revelation together at the Bible study recently, and we see there in Revelation chapter 22 another garden. We have in the first chapters of Genesis the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. In chapter 21 of Revelation, as the vision is given to John of a new heaven and a new earth, we have the holy city, the new Jerusalem. And then in chapter 22, we have this garden, if you like, a new Eden. There is the river in verse 1, freely flowing. In verse 2, the tree of life. This is Eden restored. Not only is there no sin in this garden, but there is no possibility of sin. You might, when you get home, want to read through chapters 21 and 22, because seven times in the vision John is told that there are no more. And then seven different things. No more death, no more pain, no more night, and so on. Seven times it comes in. But in verse 3 of chapter 22, we read this of that great garden of paradise. "There shall be no more curse. There shall be no more curse. The curse, the bitterness, all taken away by the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." And so you see also in this garden there are no thorns. We read of that tree in verse 2. A tree which yields fruit abundantly every month. A tree where the leaves are for the healing of the nations, the tree of life, the tree of the gospel, the tree of Calvary, but we read of no thorns in this garden. No thorns in heaven for God's people. And then just one final thought, again from the book of Revelation. And that is, across the book of Revelation, there are these wonderful views of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God in heaven, as he's worshipped by his redeemed people for all eternity. And in verse 19, we have one of those, in chapter 19, we have one of those glimpses of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Faithful and true, we read him called in verse 11. But then in verse 12 we read this, on his head were many crowns. On his head were many crowns. And my thoughts went like this, in heaven there are no thorns, and on the head of the Lord Jesus there is no longer a crown of thorns. That head which once was crowned with thorns is crowned in glory now. And he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And surely, if we're preserved safely through this pilgrimage, through this wilderness, if we're landed safely in the paradise above, then we too will place our crown on the head of the Saviour. And truly then we will say that all the thorns, all the curse that we've ever known in our life has gone and gone forever. And this will be our song. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen.